Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, to tell you about my friends over there at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove, between the demo and the ready room. Hey, this Friday, every Friday, all new music happy hour going on, live record spinning, and free four hands beer for those of age, and new vinyl in store from Parliament, Madonna, Sublime, Angels and Airwaves, Moby, Deerhoof, Iron Butterfly, Rich Robertson, and a whole lot more. And on the weekends, I do a lot of these live in-stores. So Saturday, June 25th, see Ramona DeFlower there, 2 to 4 p.m. And on Sunday, June 26th, see Callaway Circus there. More information on all these at their Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages or musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Yo, what up, yo, Keith?
Yeah,
this is Rock Paper
Scissors
Rock Paper
Podcast
with your boy Shane.
Shane.
What's Presley?
Presley. And
who are we about to see?
Slow Down Scholar. Sure.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wrap this track.
This desert moon for longer than I know. Straight looking for freedom, found nothing but piles of dried up bones. Oh Lord, how much longer must I walk this road alone? Is it punishment for all the faults to which I've been prone? Give me the hope I need to revive this dead man walking. Give me the hope I need to revive this dead man walking.
Survive this
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from O'Fallon, Illinois. Hanging out with Slow Down Scarlet. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thanks.
Woo! Thanks for having us.
I guess probably would be good to start with everybody saying hello and introduce yourselves to those listening.
My name's Brady. I play bass. This is my voice. You might hear it later. Maybe not.
He's awkwardly leaning into the microphone.
Is this working?
Check.
It's funny how many people like I'll get wave at the mic too and stuff like.
Hi, Mom. Yeah. I'm Andy Lewis. I do lead vocals and rhythm guitar for Slow Down Scarlet.
And I'm Andy Lewis, and I do vocals and. No, wait. I'm Danny Walls, and I play drums.
I'm Courtney King, and I play second fiddle.
It's all coming out.
I also sing, and I play flute.
All right.
And I'm Dylan, and I'm the lead guitarist, and I don't sing.
Lead guitar.
Yeah, lead guitar.
I did one of these one night too, and somebody said they were the lead bassist.
It happens.
We're actually looking for a lead bassist. Yeah.
We at least expect it.
Somebody who just goes.
Well, thanks for inviting me out. This is exciting stuff. I was a lot of these, the early when I first got going, I started with a lot of friends, people that I knew from that I was already friendly with and all this stuff, and then it has slowly branched out quickly. It was rather quickly that it branched out to where a lot of people wanted to be a part of it. I was getting requests and emails and things, and it was awesome. So it was very exciting to have that, and then it led to me meeting a lot of these people for the very first time on the microphone, a lot like today. So
this is
these are always fun for me, like to come out and get to hear some new music and meet some new people doing great things in our community, and so yeah, I appreciate you taking some time out to hang out.
Yeah, Rock Paper. Yeah.
We're also very excited to be here.
Yeah. Yes. Have you done any podcasting or radio stuff yet?
We've done two radio shows.
Yeah,
one in
we've
St.
done
Louis,
some radio, yeah.
One in Champaign.
Yep.
Illinois.
And we did a podcast with Joel Springer.
Oh, that's right.
The one that did in Champaign, I was at work sitting in my car listening to it. Not working. It was great.
I forget it. I guess a lot of it started with talking to Brady and but I remember seeing a while back you all did a show with Odds Lane at Old Rock House.
Yeah.
And Doug's become a friend over through music and stuff, and you've all been at it for a little while now, trying to do this thing, got the record out and all this. So let's tell me more about where we start as a band. Where'd all this get going?
Well, in 2011, we started playing together, the four of us here at the church here doing worship stuff. And
not Brady.
Not very good. Or he goes to another church.
This is my voice.
You may have heard it earlier.
And so it kind of progressed to where we started doing covers and got asked to play a couple shows just as a cover band. And then we just kind of decided, hey, let's start writing music. And I guess about 2013 we started writing, I guess. And 2014 we started recording. Does that sound right?
2014, or?
Yeah.
EP came out, yeah.
Fall of 2014 is when we
did the EP.
Recorded the EP at Ambit Studios in Maryville, Illinois.
I was going to plug it if you didn't.
I wasn't, Joel.
I was getting ready. Shout out to Joel Springer.
And so then we wrote and recorded the album, and recording, producer, all that good stuff, Dylan Tucker right here.
Yeah, so the full length was self, we did the whole thing ourselves. Dylan did the whole thing.
Very nice.
That was, turns out there's a really steep learning curve in the recording industry. But I had more time on my hands than money, so I kind of tried to invest in some good gear, and the minimal amount of good gear it took to record, and lots of sleepless nights spent on Google and YouTube learning how to do things. And I'm by no means an expert, but I'd say we're about halfway through recording our second one, and it's going much smoother this time around.
It is exciting too that we live in that time where a lot of people are doing it. You know, it's all DIY. You know, it's like people are kind of trying to cut out as many middlemen as they can, and you know, funding the records themselves and doing Kickstarters or GoFundMes or whatever to help let the fans participate too in that. And but yeah, even in the recording process, learning how to do it themselves and all that. So it's you know,
The technology and the resources are all there.
Yeah,
it's you couldn't hardly do this back in the 70s.
Yeah,
you need, you know, $1 million studio.
Right.
And now you can drop a couple grand on eBay.
And now you can make now you can pretty much make like a music video on your cell phone and stuff too. Like you can, you know, there's we have so much technology right at our fingertips today where it makes these things a lot more, you know, accessible for us. And so yeah, that's awesome. The idea though, talking about the full length here, this is I really enjoyed. I thought it sounded really good. So
thank you.
Thanks for doing that.
It didn't change now that you heard we self did it.
Oh yeah,
makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah. But I mean, that's yeah, I would never have guessed. I think you did a real good job then. I was listening to it on the way down. Actually, just kind of like to try to I listened to it before.
Keep it fresh.
Yeah, but I like to kind of put myself in that frame of mind if on the way, especially if I had a little drive out here.
That's good. You could have probably listened to the whole CD.
Yeah.
A couple times.
But I liked Dead Man Walking a lot. And is it Grivitude? Is that how you say it? Right?
Yeah.
I like that. Like, it kind of has got this.
Bluesy,
man. Well, yeah, I'm definitely more into blues rock stuff. But that one just kind of reminds me a lot of some of those my favorite, like those the talking songs like that, like the one bourbon, one scotch, one beer, or something like that, you know, that along, or there's a bunch of them, like those, and it's just kind of that vibe of that, it was fun. But I did also dropping beats, not bombs, I mean, that was very different too, like. There's not a lot of songs today with 2-minute flute solos in them and stuff. So,
yeah.
But so what? Let's talk. You know, that record though is like, do you all write a lot of that stuff together, or how's this come together to be the what these songs are and stuff?
I don't know. We've written a song about every which way I can think of.
Yeah.
Like we've all individually brought a song to the table and kind of hashed it out, and there's some where one of us will write lyrics and someone else will put music to it, and then we'll kind of get together and hash it out.
Right.
And,
sometimes there's a very specific idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone has it already complete. I mean, yeah, like,
that's
done it all.
That's usually me. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
guys,
yeah,
we're going to do a Motown song.
Yeah. We're going to do a Celtic song.
Celtic.
Are you ready for this?
That probably... hopefully helps explain kind of the apparent randomness in some of the songs. Like, we,
sure.
I don't want to say it's a debate we get into, but, you know, like, it's kind of tough to define a genre that we fit in. And we sort of do that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that's partly because we all come from 5 completely different musical backgrounds, and we all listen to innumerable different genres of music and artists.
Yeah.
And we like to play tons of different stuff, and we think most of our fans, especially from the feedback we've heard, enjoy that. Like, they get to go see a show, and it's not like, okay, well, this is, you know, they're just a blues band, I'm going to hear a bunch of blues music, or they're a punk band, I'm going to hear a bunch of punk stuff. It keeps them guessing, and they from what I've seen, I'm sure you guys
think so.
Agree completely 100%.
And it's fun. It really adds to the way we write music when you have that, the dynamics of, you know, all the different backgrounds, and, you know, we're all different ages here too. I'm the oldest one. I'm, you know, the elder statesman, I guess. And then it kind of, you know, goes down from there. So it really, it adds to it. It's not, you know, a bunch of, you know, 27-year-old people who have had the same experience and listen to the same thing. We've all listened to different stuff. And it pushes us each too as musicians to, you know, be able to play different styles. And it pushes me, because these guys are so much better musicians than I am, that it really, like pushes me to be better and to progress as a, you know, as a musician. So the way we write is fun. We enjoy it. It brings us together as a band, and it pushes us as musicians too. So that's kind of a cool thing, cool approach, I think,
yeah,
that we have.
I think the best summary of it that Danny and I came up with was, we feel like we're at our best when we're telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
That's true for a lot of music. Like, most of my best songs are ones that portray a story, whether it's... But so we will take the music and the genre that we think best suits that, and put that with the lyrics. And that's working for us pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, I dig what you're saying about the variety, because, like, there is a... I feel like sometimes where you listen to a record and a lot of it does sound very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it is nice to have that variety in a set or even, you know, in one album and everything else. So, but yeah, I like a lot of variety. A lot of my favorite bands are like that too. Like where, like I said, just a lot of different eclectic blend of music in there. So yeah, you guys. I felt like there was some, like, you know, some 80s rock stuff and some bluesy things. The one that the last track though, the day Enrique died, that was the one that, like, really threw me off. Like, it was so that one's like all like Spanish guitar and mm-hmm. you speak Spanish in there and stuff.
Bit, yeah.
Some Spanglish.
Yeah. So where's
She says chorizo.
Yeah.
I do not ever say chorizo. Chorizo.
Right. What? Where's that one come about? What's the?
That is based on a true story.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
True. I didn't
know that. No, that one. I'd always wanted to do just kind of like a, like I said, like a Spanish kind of classical guitar. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, there's just so much good emotion in that style of music. So I want to write a sad story, and I just let my brain wander for about 15 minutes and pen it out.
You just looked at Esteban infomercial.
Yeah, that's
it. QVC was up there.
Went to El Pollo y Loco and wrote the song.
Yes. Crazy chicken with the crazy thing.
By the way, if you can tell, we don't really take ourselves really seriously.
Yeah.
It's very loose. Very loose.
For sure. Yeah. And I, that's an, you know, another big compliment to, like, I think there are a lot of, you know, probably too many people taking themselves way too seriously and stuff. And, like, yeah, you gotta be loose with it and have some fun and just, and be able to laugh at yourself at times and things. But,
absolutely.
So I like that about, you know, like, you guys have, even just in this hanging out today, but just, you know, through the music and through some, you know, stuff on your website and stuff, pictures and things, like, you can realize that you guys like to have a lot of fun with it. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So we're talking, you're saying something about maybe another halfway through maybe a new album already?
Yeah. We've got, I'd say part of at least 5 or 6 tracks done. One or two of them are nearly completed. The goal right now, tentatively, is this fall, maybe winter, have that one out.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll put it out when it's ready.
Sure, yeah. Well, you called the first, this is the first, right?
Yeah.
You have the EP, yep, or something you said, maybe?
Yeah, we just called
those tracks are all on that scene.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a pre.
Yeah.
That was a little taste.
Right. We call this one the greatest hits. Are you going to call that greatest hits too, or
the best of the rest?
Yeah,
it's all downhill from here. Yeah.
not so great hits.
Yeah,
they're pretty good. Good hits.
What was it?
Call it soft.
Primus called their greatest hits. They can't all be zingers.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Those guys are great. Actually, the night we're recording this, Les Claypool's over at the pageant. So. Yeah,
really?
Speaking of Primus.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
and that's the end of this podcast.
Yeah, yeah, it's that Sean Lennon and Les Claypool.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it would have been interesting.
It was a good show.
Yeah, we need the greatest hits just in case. You know, we've never brought out another album just so that we could say, these should check out our greatest hits.
Right.
We thought about just doing another 3 or 4 albums with like a couple of those songs on each one, and then the rest are just crappy songs. Like, okay, then.
Sure.
They call it.
Yeah. It's like, you have to do it backwards. And,
right.
Right. So, what else we got? We got big plans for the rest of the year at all? We got some shows coming up. But I mean, would you guys all, do you have any other goals you're looking forward to, or hitting the road, or anything like that?
Yeah, we're always trying to get out of our area. We love playing St. Louis, and we love playing in this area and stuff. But we're trying to, we went down to Atlanta and played a show in Atlanta back in March, which was a lot of fun. We had enjoyed that. So we're always trying just to look for opportunities to, get outside and, booking shows elsewhere.
That's definitely a...
You took the words right out of my mouth.
Took the words right out of my mouth, yeah. We want to, that is our goal to get out, get our music out and tour. We'd love to do that. Booking gigs is difficult sometimes.
Sure.
Finding, breaking in to the scene is definitely something that...
Yeah.
I think we've struggled with trying to find our place. But
people who like us.
People to like us. Please like us.
People who just tolerate us.
I don't have to be liked.
Right.
I need to be liked.
Yeah, it's pretty much what we love to do. We want to do it because we love it, and we want other people to like it too.
Sometimes we lead by deception. Our last show it was Soho Fest. It was a festival in Springfield. Our last song was Iran, the cover song.
Right.
And so a guy came out and heard that, and he said, "Wow, you guys were great. Are you an 80s cover band?" I said, "Yes, we are." We just take whatever path we can take.
Right.
See what happens.
We do it. We do it all.
Which is when it really comes in handy, when we have 20 different genres.
Right.
Whatever
you said, hard rock band.
Yes,
you got it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, say something
about that.
I was gonna plug some of these shows. We were talking about some of the shows, and Saturday, the June 25th, you will be doing an acoustic show at Peel, right?
Yes.
Right.
In O'Fallon, Illinois.
Yep.
Excellent place.
Yeah, really great.
Love
place.
It there.
And then, duo, trio, huh? Is everybody going to be there?
I think it's a trio.
It's a good trio.
Yeah.
I forget which trio.
Little acoustic thing.
Right
so.
On. Yeah, and then Sunday, June 26th, and that's, Bethalto?
Bethalto Fireworks Celebration.
Yeah.
We'll be playing at 6:15, and then...
Free show.
Both of those
are. Family friendly. This is a great place to take your family. There's all sorts of activities, and of course the fireworks at the end. So,
right.
We may or may not have Roman candles on stage.
May or may not.
Right. And then
I won't want to.
And then you were telling me about this other exciting stuff you guys were involved in. What was the dates on this song competition you're involved in?
Yes, Andy and I are on a song competition TV show that will be airing on PBS on June 23rd in the evening. So I'm not exactly sure when it is. I think maybe 10. But so just check your local listings for
so your DVRs.
Song stage.
TiVo.
And I believe it goes. It runs for 4 weeks.
Get your VHS recorders ready.
Yeah. So you don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
And I mean PBS. Austin City Limits is on PBS.
So right.
I mean, that's.
It's pretty big.
It's pretty prestigious, yeah. Music-wise.
It's kind of a big deal.
He's saying we're going to blow up.
Yes. We're going to be on Austin City Limits.
It's like a volcano of record sales and CDs.
Who's the guy who is on PBS? He has the baton and the little bubbles.
Bob Ross.
Lawrence Welk.
Yeah. Lawrence Welk. Yeah.
Lawrence Welk will be right after Lawrence Welk.
I thought you were talking about the painter guy for a second.
Yeah.
He's on Netflix now.
He's dead, isn't he?
Is he really?
He's on Netflix now.
Huh.
You know who I just found out? I literally found this out a couple weeks ago.
You're a son.
I don't know. This is...
Bob Ross is my dad.
No, I...
How many kids do I have?
No, I don't know what made
happy
me think
little orphans.
But it was a couple of years ago, Danny and I went to see... Switchfoot in concert in O'Fallon, Missouri, and Survivor played in
yes.
front of them.
Oh, yeah.
And I just found this out. The lead singer of Survivor died like 1 week afterwards.
What? Yeah. Are you serious?
So we were.
Yeah, where were you guys?
We.
I knew that. I didn't even go to the show.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Stop. So we were there.
So
the last time he sang.
Wow, last time he sang
Eye of the Tiger. Yeah.
Whoa.
That's.
I was there too, by the way.
Were you there?
Yeah, Courtney was there.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sorry, I went to a Sammy Hagar concert not too long ago. No, I'm good. I'm just kidding. I don't
some sweat on his.
It's been kind of an epic, like, I've seen some classic. I saw Billy Idol at Lou Fest.
Yeah.
That was kind of crazy, seeing Billy Idol and then seeing Survivor. That was, yeah, some of the classic bands.
Yeah.
Bands just won't die.
Except for Survivor.
Except for the lead singer of Survivor.
Dang it.
That's, they got, call them like Ocella or something like that, which is like Paul McCartney, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, all these guys. Rolling Stones.
Craziest line of Bible.
Yeah, it's a crazy, but yeah, that's the thing. Like, all these guys, it's like it's nuts that these guys are even all still there doing it. Like, they've been at it 40, 50 years and stuff. And,
right.
But yeah, it's pretty wild. But it's like, I'd like to go see it, but it's also, it's like I saw, I use the example, but I've seen Chuck Berry twice. Man.
I need to go see him before he dies.
Yeah.
Well, and that's like, I don't
it's
think
not, he, I've seen him at WL.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think he's, he hasn't played in like over a year now. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there, but he, I don't know. It's like, it's still, as long as you know what you're going into, like the fact that he is,
127
years
old.
Yeah.
Well, I see him as like 83. It's
right.
Yeah. It's hard to sit there. And critique him well because it's like the guy's 83.
Right.
It's like I probably won't live till 83. So it's like, let alone play my instrument.
Yeah, he's out there doing it, and
on
he's
stage,
and
yeah.
he's but and not like into some retirement home somewhere or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, he's but yeah, like so that's the only thing is like it's like you have to be aware of, you know, you're not it's not going to sound like
yeah.
the record and whatever it's going to. Hopefully that I think McCartney's still doing really, really well.
Yeah,
with
he
all
is.
Those,
yeah,
but,
he is.
But it's like some of those guys. I'm kind of nervous to spend all that money to go to see a show and then.
Dude, I can't believe Keith Richards is still alive. That guy looked like he was dead like 30 years ago.
He's gonna outlive everybody. He'll be the first man who lived to 300 years old.
Right. I think that's part of it, though, man. When you just keep playing, you keep your mind active and your body active. It helps, I think.
Right.
Because a lot of people, they get that age, they just check out.
And copious amounts of smack.
I think he drinks something every night to help preserve his organs or something. He's drinking formaldehyde, just like from a jar.
I just reached a 353, so.
I just heard Eric Clapton's probably done for.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, he's got, was it nerve problems in his hand?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure we'll probably still do some stuff. We're probably just not going to tour like you
had been. He's out. Alex Lifeson, who one of my guitar idols from Rush, he's done. Yeah. So they're done.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah, but same thing, I guess. Like,
This is turning into a depressing time.
I know.
Well, then,
crazy. Well, you guys knew Prince died, right?
What?
Oh, my God.
And Brian.
Both slice.
And Brian Johnson is
ACDC.
Oh,
yeah.
He's coming back, though.
Oh, yeah.
They found some kind of in-ear monitor he can wear, so he might be coming back.
Okay. I was listening. I listened to a lot of. Listen to a lot of Howard Stern show, and he, they had, Jim Brewer on the other night, and he was talking about.
That dude's funny.
Oh, yeah. Jim's like actually really good friends with Brian Johnson.
Really?
And because, he was doing that AC/DC hokey pokey
stuff. Yes.
Apparently, they loved it, and they, since all the making jokes about them and stuff, they've become real good friends, and, but so he does like a spot on Brian Johnson impression
all the time
too.
So good.
And then so Stern was making jokes like, why don't you just go sing these songs? Like, what, you know, you should go out there and instead of Axl Rose. But yeah, that was the weird part about it was that they got Axl, who like was gone for so long, and then
broke
didn't
his
like
leg or something.
He didn't want to even be in Guns N' Roses, and all of a sudden he's back with Guns N' Roses and singing for AC/DC. Yeah. So it's like, all right, well.
You do a lot of things in your bank account. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So
he didn't do bad either.
What do you think Nicolas Cage did all those awful movies? So his bank account was low.
That's high praise.
The Wicker Man. The Weather Man.
Family Man. Con Air. Broke Man.
Yeah.
Con Air was a good movie.
Yeah. Still not.
There's going to be a fight afterwards, by the way. Or maybe on air.
Yeah.
Dylan might throw his water bottle at him.
On Con Air.
Con Air.
Con Air.
Yeah. So, kind of saw some of those influences. What do you, you all come from very different backgrounds and things you were saying, but who do you all like credit for getting you guys started in music, though? Like, is it, do you all come from musical families or anything? Or was it, you're saying met in the church and stuff? Does it the church have to do with it too? Or?
For me, my parents, nobody in my family was, a cousin was, but not in my immediate family. So.
Yeah, kicked out.
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that cousin, no.
The musical
cousin.
I got a couple of musical cousins.
But with the flute, my parents both listened to rock all the time growing up, so that's what I was raised on. And when I was deciding what instrument to play, and you know, the beginning band, my dad played for me some Jethro Tull, and was like, "Hey, see, the flute can be cool," because I wasn't too keen on playing the flute. And I was like, "I want to play the trumpet or the saxophone or something."
But she was keen on saying words like keen.
Did I say keen just
now? Yep. I was going to say something. I was like, that's that way.
I really thought the flute was choice, so I had choice.
Yeah, that's so boss.
A keen performance.
But you can play saxophone, though.
I can.
And violin.
That's true.
But the flute is my
multi-talented.
She just got her master's in flute performance.
Whoa.
That's very true.
Very cool.
Yeah. But something that working with these guys, like he says, you know, that he gets pushed by us, but they push me to be a better musician outside of the classical realm, like to try to really push myself. Like I have a pedal board that I put my flute through, and do all sorts of fun stuff with that.
I've never played with anybody who mastered music before. pretty intense.
There's a lot of pressure, a lot of high pressure, especially when Courtney's like screaming at us to get it right during practice.
Again, again,
hitting us. Flute hurts upside your head.
Throwing a conductor's baton at us. And
you ask one question and we like answer one, and then we get off. Influence.
Influence is okay.
For me, I like bands that are named after geographic locations. Chicago, Terry Kath is probably my favorite guitarist, just because he liked guns. Boston, no, because he killed himself. He had a huge gun collection.
Okay.
And he's a great guitarist. And he did everything by ear. He never
learned
how to read a lick of music. And that was kind of shocking when I heard that, because he does some of the craziest like scales. And Boston, Tom Scholz is, I'd say, pretty big influence. His he's not like the most technical shredding guitarist, but he writes like some of the most perfectly fitting and beautiful melodies, and counter melodies, and bass lines, and keyboard parts, because he did everything on those early tracks.
And he did a lot of parts too. People know that.
And he did all the recording stuff himself too. I think he recorded everything except the drums and vocals on their first album.
Nice.
Just kind of a self-made man, so yeah. I just admire that. And then Rush. Rush was the big band I listened to when I started playing music. First I learned drums, actually, from Danny years and years ago.
You
forgot about that. he kind of showed me a couple rudiments and how to get started, so I started doing that. I listened to a lot of Rush. One of the first songs I ever played was by The Offspring, though, because it was that time of the 90s. Then I moved into guitar, and then I kind of picked up bass between the two, and Rush, as you may know, has all three of those instruments covered really well. So
yeah.
If you want to get good at all three, try playing some Rush songs like on each piece, and that'll really push it. But I always liked how Alex Lifeson, he could, he very rarely like just plays a chord. It's always like picking out a melody within a chord, because he's playing lead and rhythm essentially at the same time. So he just has some really cool ways of expressing his melodies and arpeggios and stuff like that. So I try to steal from them a lot.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Very cool.
Well, my influence, my family
was his dad, who's in Survivor.
His name is Bob Ross.
Oh, yeah, Bob Ross. Sorry. He has a lot of dads.
Ross. Oh, gosh. My family was pretty musical. My mom sings. My brother sings, my sister sings, I sing, play guitar.
Who, his sister was actually the very first lead singer?
True.
Split out Scarlet.
Trivia moment there.
Trivia moment.
She was there at the founding.
She was.
And was a part of probably the coolest Slow Down Scarlet picture ever taken.
The jump.
On the jump, on the beach.
Mind freak.
Mind freak. And then my dad plays the radio, and he says that all the time. So, but I grew up actually playing trombone in band, and then whenever I was a senior in high school, I was like, "Oh, I'll join choir and sing." And so I did that, and people were like, "Hey, you really can sing. Why don't you like actually sing in actual choirs?" And so. Grew up doing that, and then I ditched trombone for guitar because I thought it would help me
get
James' favor with the ladies.
You, for real?
Well, yeah. I mean, what are you going to say?
Pick up guitar,
I mean, when you go to college,
that's
what
happened.
Oh, sorry, I'm gonna go up to my room and practice my trombone. Or
hey there, baby.
Are you gonna or say, hey, I'm gonna go? I'm gonna practice playing guitar. And true story, I met my fiance whenever I played guitar at a wedding.
So it works.
Yeah. but started playing guitar and primarily just like chords for church and stuff, and then I came back to Fallon in 2011, and Danny asked me if I wanted to play in a show at New Baden, and that's
the hotbed of Southern Illinois music.
Which I think was the first time I played with Courtney and Dylan together in a band, so that was where it all started.
Were your musical influences?
Musical influences?
Besides me.
Besides Danny. I'm more kind of blues rock sort of thing, so I love classic rock. I do love Jim Croce. I think he's a great guitarist, great songwriter.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah.
He's written one song 20 times.
Well,
it's a great song.
Yeah, it is. It is a great song. And he's really creative with lyrics too. Because I just found this out. I found this out not too long ago that he wrote a song called "Roller Derby Queen,"
yeah.
And he actually wrote it about the wife of a mayor of a town in like Alabama. And I don't think he visited that town afterwards. Based the descriptions for the roller derby girl off of the mayor's wife, which I look at that and go, I see some of that in our band with just ridiculous writing and
singing songs about mayor's wives.
Unlike our song "Derby Queen," which is about actual roller derby,
right?
Yes.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Based on a true story.
But I would say my top three guitarist influences would be, in no particular order, Joe Bonamassa, who's a ridiculous shredding blues guitarist.
He's okay.
Yeah, he's pretty okay. I do like Eric Clapton a lot, and try to incorporate some of his stuff. And one of the more kind of modern guys that I kind of look at listen to his acoustic stuff is John Foreman, really great songwriter and creates a lot of interesting chords and stuff like that. Just
yeah. Nice.
Great.
Well, I'm the new blood. I think I've been in here maybe almost a year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Hopefully we'll have a party for that.
Yes, we will. There will be cake and we'll get a raise.
I tried out. I think I did well. It was either me or I think a 17-year-old kid. So. In fact, I was almost twice their age. I felt good that I made it. So
he was good. He was a good player, man.
He was.
The 17-year-old?
Yeah, he was good. He was
see,
good.
Now I feel worse.
Yeah, he had the job till you showed up.
Yeah, dang it.
Beat him out.
This is definitely a new experiment for me. I've mostly been in hard rock and heavy metal my whole musical career, so I've been in a lot of different bands in that style, so it's definitely...
He cries after a verse.
As I get older, right. It's like, get tired of playing for anybody, so it's like, let's jump in something a little more mainstream, and hopefully, you know, I can play at Eckert's now, and cool places where my family can actually show up. So.
Right.
Got some dirty bar somewhere, so. No, but it's definitely the. Probably one of the more skilled bands I've ever been. I definitely feel like, why am I in this band? Like, these guys actually know what they're doing, they know what music is.
Aww.
They understand it. Like, I'm just a guy playing the bass, so.
You're like a computer as far as you know every song.
He knows every song, man. He knows every song. I'm like, oh, this song. He's like, and I'm like, how do you know that? He knows every song there is.
That is true.
I was in a cover band for 5 years, so learned a lot of songs for that.
Yeah.
But
very influences.
I listen to a lot of heavy metal. I listen to a lot of 90s music, I guess. That's kind of what I was growing up with, like when the Point plays like Way Back Wednesday, it's like, oh my gosh, I never want to leave my car, you know, I love this stuff so much.
He spends a lot of time in his car.
At work. That was an experiment. How long did I sit here before somebody noticed it? Correct answer, I'm not going to say.
If it's possible.
That was a bit too long, but it worked. But. No, it's a... That's pretty much like not a lot of stuff these guys listen to, I honestly don't really listen to it. So, I mean,
yeah,
it's kind of cool. Maybe my styling will start meshing a little bit and get a little more edge on some of the songs. And so,
sure.
I used to play a lot of drop D, and none of these songs are drop D, so maybe I'll bring a little more heavy element to it. But
I have always wanted me to start screaming.
We're going to hear screaming.
The Celtic song is going to be in drop D.
There you go.
For you.
Yeah.
That's really getting close to the heavy metal.
There's a lot of Celtic metal.
Absolutely, there is.
Yeah.
We're going to get the...
He's going to scream.
That guy who plays bagpipe on a unicycle and has flames coming out. We're going to have that.
He's going to scream in Scandinavian and the Celtic song, so just be ready.
Hard to say like what influences my writing. I mean, I grew up listening to punk in high school. That definitely influences it. So...
Yeah.
I don't have really any guitar heroes. I mean, I play guitar as well, but...
And he plays Guitar Hero, too. So.
Yes.
Guitar Hero.
When they add that extra finger, I cannot do it.
It's the yellow button.
I can do the four buttons. When they add the orange button, it's like, I'm done. Why even...
So funny.
It's hard. Why are people so good at that and they can't even play guitar? I don't even understand it. It's like, I can play guitar and I can't even get expert at all.
Danny Holmes.
I'm like the old dude in the band, so I have an older sister, and so I can remember when Michael Jackson's Off the Wall came out because my sister got it and had the record and played it. So, like, man, I listened to like the Commodores, Rick James, Michael Jackson. I had cousins who were like into classic rock, so I grew up listening to that. My dad's from West Virginia, so I listened to a lot of Johnny Cash and all that older, you know, classic country music. And then as I got older, I got into like a lot of punk and hardcore, like Dead Kennedys and The Descendants and Black Flag. And then I got into hip hop. I love music, so I've had like just a ton of influences but I couldn't say like, oh, this is my favorite. It's kind of like a hodgepodge. And so
definitely that Buttermilk Biscuit song, that's your favorite.
Nobody knows about Buttermilk Biscuits by Sir Mix-a-Lot. It's a great
song. You got that song.
I could just sing that whole song for, I love it. It's such a great song. But no, I mean, all kinds of influences, and being older, you know, it's kind of I've heard a lot and listened a lot. And then somebody like Jack White now that, you know, you listen to Jack White and he's kind of doing his own thing. And I love what he does, whether it's Dead Weather or the Raconteurs or his solo stuff. It's, you know, stuff like that. So those have been kind of my influences. And
very cool. Yeah.
That took 45 minutes in another
channel. Well, see you later. I've been noticing your shoes, Dylan, and and your look. And do you ever get that you look like Forrest Gump?
I do. These are actually part of my Halloween costume.
All right. I actually have the red, white, and blue ones like that.
Nice.
Nike Cortez that Forrest
Gump. They were blue and then it rubbed
out. Yeah, there you go.
All they had was the solid white.
So yeah, we did a show October 30th this past year, and at Cicero's, and we all dressed as something, and he was the running Forrest Gump in the shorts.
And I ran during
the entire time. And he looked spot on, like just like him. Right. Just like awesome.
I'm gonna go home now. that was still one of my favorite movies. But the moment when he wipes his face and, you know, the smiley face on the shirt and stuff, and like,
have a nice day.
Yeah, it happens.
Sometimes.
Yeah. That movie, there's so many classic moments, and like, but yeah, it's just crazy to that guy, you know, Forrest Gump was seen everything, was everywhere and stuff. It was a great movie, but
love that movie.
Yeah. And that, there's something about, like, especially, you know, set in the 70s, there's so much great music in that soundtrack. But for me, that's a lot of what I think is cool with music and movie and anything. But, like, music can totally enhance a movie, you know, like...
Absolutely.
Like, I look at, like, a movie like Dazed and Confused or something like that, and, like, it's a great movie, but the fact that soundtrack is so good, like it makes that movie so much better. And it's like, and like I can't not think of the car burning out around the corner without hearing Sweet Emotion and yeah. stuff like that. You know? So it's like things like that. You know, there's these forever ingrained in my brain all these songs that go with the imagery and stuff. And hopefully maybe you guys will get on some movie soundtrack or something.
That'd be cool. Well, that's one thing I think attracts a lot of us to music is just how powerful it is. How powerful of a medium. Meaning it is to, you know, voice an opinion or to evoke emotion, or it's very powerful, you know, especially, you know, at church, you know, church music is a powerful thing to evoke worship to God. And so we all kind of, you know, we have that church background and we see the power of music and what it can do and how it can rally people around a cause or lift up somebody's emotions, where they're at, and it's a powerful thing. So we have fun in what we do, but I think we take serious the, you know, what music and the power of what it can do, and we, you know, it's
an expression of life.
Yeah, absolutely, an expression of life, and we dig it. We dig what other people do, and we always try to support, you know, other bands and music. And,
yeah. Very cool
things. So like what you're saying, like the soundtracks. So yeah. You put it around, wrap it around an experience, like in a movie, it just like takes it to another level. Absolutely.
Sure. Well, you guys were saying you do have some music video stuff, right? For Dead Man Walking and Dropping Beats Not Bombs, right?
Yep.
Are those available or coming out? Or
yeah, they're we got them both on our YouTube page, or if you go to our website, SlowDownScarlet.com, under...
Or DylanTucker.com.
It's the media.
He made the videos.
Yeah, we did it all in-house.
Actually, in this gym.
Both of them in the gym.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, if you don't see me a bunch in like the big shots in Dead Man Walking, that's because I was running the camera.
All right.
I wasn't always fast enough to run around back then.
And then Beats Not Bombs, he was behind the camera the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beats Not Bombs.
Explain that.
Yeah, since we didn't put a big, huge description on that, but and some people have asked me about it. So we did that. We wanted to do a single continuous shot for the entire music video. And not going to lie, we were heavily influenced by some of the videos from Meat Math, just because they've mastered doing crazy things in their videos, I think. But so we wanted it to sync up to the original studio song when it was played in reverse, or when the video was shown in reverse. So everything you see on that video is backwards. So we did all that stuff forward, which meant we had to kind of like time it out. And we're there in the gym. We had the studio track playing backwards. over the loudspeakers, and I put some little beeps in there because you can't tell where it is if you're listening to stuff backwards. I put some little audio cues, like, okay, jump on a skateboard, shoot some poppers off. And Courtney, I made her learn the entire thing, her flute stuff. I made her learn how to play it forward the reverse way, so that she's like kind of just walking backwards, playing along to this track that's going backwards. In reverse.
All right.
And kind of how to like accent that stuff in reverse. And it's really weird once you try to like make your mind do that, it doesn't work very well. I think it turned out great, but just getting your head around that, like, okay,
sure.
If I want this to happen here, I have to do it after that. Oh, crap.
And there, I think Coldplay did a video like that too, like where is it, like, he gets in a car accident and like he has to like
has
the part like where, you know, so like he like jumps back into the car and the car goes back up the hill and like it's weird to watch all that back rewind it or whatever, but
it's not a entirely original concept.
Well, I think Keith Urban, sure, yeah. But yeah, I think it's interesting though. It's a fun idea to play around with.
It was fun to shoot it too.
Yeah, and the trick was because there's so much like chaos and destruction going on, we wanted to do it in just one.
Sure.
So we sat there probably 12, 15 times.
Yeah.
Ran through, kind of pantomiming it, like, right. Okay, I'm gonna smash this, but not really.
my friends did a video. New Lingo. They did a video where they were in this house, and it's kind of like a, like the camera just keeps spinning in a circle, and like there's like all these different happening in each room, like one room the band was in, and then like they're acting out the scene in another room and stuff. But like while the camera was moving, like they kept having to rearrange this stuff.
We've talked about this. Yeah, dude, that's awesome. Yeah,
so yeah, it was a lot of. I mean, but they, you know, it looks cool in the end. But yeah, there's a you don't see all. There's a ton of work behind the scenes trying to make that come together. So. And then, of course, timing. If it's not right, then you start all over.
Yep.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think well, they end up doing that, like, Birdman, I guess, is a lot of... I didn't watch the movie, but I heard that was a lot of, like, single shot, like, a lot of stuff where it was in, like, one room or whatever.
Continuous takes, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
The Revenant had that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a
Revenant's crazy.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Really good.
So, so yeah, we got those music videos, and I'll attach those to the post and share those. People can check them out. And then you guys, we did a live acoustic version of the Wake Up and Smell the Coffee.
Yep.
Thank you.
Any stories behind that song or any of these songs you care to share?
It's a morning song, basically.
Yeah.
So we're really gunning for a Folgers sponsorship.
Yeah.
And Waffle House. In case the Waffle House falls through.
Waffle House for sure.
Yeah, Waffle House.
But no, that one. So Courtney doesn't play any flute on that one. I really wanted to. I kind of had her in mind the whole time, vocally writing that. Just wanted a good, almost like Paramore-esque type driving song to let her kind of showcase some of her rock vocals and attitude.
Yeah.
Ratitude.
Ratitude.
Yeah. That one. It's not like crazy technical, but I think it's nuanced a little more than a lot of our other songs. That always makes it fun to play because it doesn't get boring. You're not just okay, here's a chorus, okay, here's a verse, okay, here's a chorus. It's kind of, and it's more evident in the full version,
sure.
Acoustic version, I think. But it's tough to pick a favorite song to play, but that one's definitely.
I like
playing
it's definitely up there. As far as a full, if it's a full rocking show, it's probably.
I have so much fun singing this song.
Yeah. She's usually spitting on people and kicking them.
Kick them in the face.
Yeah.
Kick it to the face.
Yeah, lyrically, our songs are kind of, they're in different places. And Derby Queen is literally about a roller derby that Dylan and I. And Andy went to for a bachelor party, and it was the first roller derby we ever went to. And there was actually a skater called the Scarlet Bandit.
It was awesome.
We just had a blast. I'm like, dude, we got to write a song about this. So we pinned out Derby Queen and kind of had a guitar riff. I'm like, hey, this is what you just went with it. And so when you listen to Derby Queen, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's about a roller derby. Then you have a song like Dead Man Walking and that Andy wrote is about,
Sean Penn.
About Sean Penn.
About Keith Richards.
It's about his dad, Bob Ross. It's a song about faith and your spiritual journey and along the way and as a Christ follower and what it looks like and the struggles and the lows and the highs. And so you have a song like that, and then you have a song like Enrique that's just a really funny, story. And so we're kind of all over the place and as far as writing go lyrically on the album.
Yeah.
About our lives and funny stuff.
Life
Beats
funny.
Our Moms is more of a unspoken tale. So it's an implied story.
That's right.
There's not an interpretation. Yeah. There's not a whole lot that we don't consider whenever we write music. I don't think there's really anything that we look at and say, okay, that's off limits. Or
no country.
We're not going to.
No country.
Yeah.
We do say that.
Courtney said that.
Yeah. We do have one song that's a little bit more country than.
I think it's a little more rock and roll.
It is.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Actually,
I thought it was more like Nutrisystem, rock and roll. You lose 50 pounds. Murray Osmond. Murray Osmond looks good for 50, I'm not gonna lie. I look at that commercial and she's like, I lost 50 pounds. I was like, man.
Yes, you did.
Wow. Murray Osmond.
But it's.
Anyways.
It'll be on the new album. Should I say what it's called or.
Which one are you talking about?
Moonshine Love.
Oh, yeah.
That's more, I would call that hillbilly rock.
That's hillbilly rock.
Hillbilly rock.
Danny wrote that.
That's a true story about my papaw who ran Moonshine in West Virginia. So.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
That one's fun to play.
I like that.
We've played that once or twice.
With varying degrees of success.
Still pretty
But
cute.
It's fun. It's That one's a
work in progress. So it's a little polished, but it's getting there. Yeah, our next album's going to have some crazy, weird stuff on it.
So if you didn't like the first album...
Yeah. Get real weird.
Right.
We've got Moonshine Love. We've got... I call it the Motown song. I tried to write it and orchestrate it in the style of like an old 60s.
Sure. Kinda,
and it's about, I won't tell you what it's about.
It's a love song with some heartbreak in there.
Yes.
Yeah. Heartbreak song.
Yeah, we've played that one. It's called Qigong.
Yeah.
Oh.
Very cool.
Yeah, there's going to be a Celtic song we're still kind of ironing out. That was just a lot of like playing the different genres. I use it as a way to push myself as a musician. So like in the Celtic one, and I try to stay authentic to the genres too. So I was looking up like, okay, what tuning do they use? And it was a lot of like open G type stuff. And I have no idea how to play open G, so okay, I'm going to learn that. Kind of write a song out of that. Same with Motown. I kind of look at the chord structures and say, okay, I'm going to make myself write a song true to that period or that style. Which is cool because, you know, that's not something I would otherwise do if I wasn't trying to do the best version of that I could. It pushes me and it pushes them because they don't know crap about Motown or Celtic or...
I know
something
about
that. He's a little bit
behind
the
I'm old. Yeah. Well, cool. You can grab this copy of Slow Down Scarlet, The Greatest Hits, available online at slowdownscarlet.com. And, of course, at any of those shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and then those shows...
On iTunes, too. Sorry.
Oh, on iTunes, too. Yeah.
For you hipsters.
Google Play.
Yeah. But yeah, pretty much. And then you can stream it on the site, too, if you want to listen to some of it before you buy it. But then, you can come out Peel on June 25th in O'Fallon, Illinois. And Sunday, June 26th at Bethalto Fireworks. Mm-hmm. So
I think it's at the airport in Bethalto.
Yeah. And so don't forget to check out
fireworks at the airport.
On good chance.
I think it's like a small airport.
Or a flyover or something like that.
But it's supposed to be a really awesome
or a fly into.
Yeah, it's a cool fireworks display.
Yeah.
So you can get a pre 4th of July.
Yeah.
4th of July.
Cool.
We're excited to play. We're really excited to play there.
Yeah.
Check out Songstage on PBS.
Yes.
On June 20th.
It's basically Austin City Limits.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Pretty much. And then you guys are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram and all that. So.
Yes, please like us, follow us.
Yeah.
Come see us. Come
if you're a band, we'll follow you back.
Yeah. Or podcast.
If you're a personal
podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll stalk you.
All right. Well, cool. So we'll throw on some tunes from the album. You can get a preview right here and a live acoustic version. And then, pick up a copy. Come see them live. Follow them online.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for taking some time out to hang. This is
for having me. Appreciate you, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Hopefully, I'll be able to catch one of these shows coming up and come see it live.
See the
weirdness. Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye, listeners. Adios.